We'll be beginning this morning in John chapter 12. But before we do so, let's go to our Holy Lord in prayer and ask His blessings upon this time together, His blessings upon this time as we open His holy word and as He calls us near. Amen? What a privilege. What a joy unspeakable. Let us pray. And I'm going to ask Brother Andy, could you please pray for me this morning?
Father, we thank you that you have given us opportunity to come. I ask that you would prepare our hearts to hear your word. We might hear your voice this morning. That as your children, we might heal. That we might know that as Father that loves us and has bought us again, we desire to instruct us, to teach us, and perform us in the image of the precious Son of God. Father, I pray for Brother Tom as he stands before us to bring your word. That you would be with him. Hopefully, that he would decrease and you would increase.
Amen.
Father, help us feel the weight of your word, the seriousness. But at the same time, Father, help us to feel and know the joy that you speak to us and you love us and you care for us. Help us to know you. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name.
Amen. In the scripture, Lord Jesus Christ is referred to by many names. We think of Him being called the bread of life. We think of Him, as we just sang about, we think of Him being called the water of life. We think of Him speaking of Himself as the way, the truth, and the life. We think of Him being called the true vine. We think of Him being called the door, the shepherd of the sheep. And on we could go. We think of Him being called the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But there is one title, and specifically one work of the Savior that I want to talk about this morning, and that is His title of Deliverer. And we also saw that in that last hymn that we sang, that He is a mighty Deliverer, that He has delivered us from what? And that's what I want us to consider this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ, referred to as the Deliverer, and that word Deliverer has the meaning of to pull or to draw to oneself. So the Deliverer came to draw or to pull someone or something to Himself. In John chapter 12, I just want to pick up two verses before we move into the New Testament epistles. Beginning there at verse 31, or three verses, excuse me. Jesus says this, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This He said, signifying what death He should die. So Jesus speaks here of His cross work as He continues to draw near and near to Calvary, to the end of His earthly ministry, to that role of Redeemer and Deliverer that the Lord, His Father has called Him to. He says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I will be their deliverer. Again, the meaning of delivery is to draw, to pull. I will draw them to me. Certainly not all men without exception, but all men without distinction. Gentiles as well as Jews, from every tongue, from every tribe, from every nation. The Lord is doing a work in this world that continues through our own day. He is pulling people out of this present evil world and drawing them to Himself. He is delivering them. He is delivering them. And so the question, from what is He delivering them, is also answered in the Scriptures. If we turn to Romans chapter 7, And as we think about the work of the Lord in His delivering ministry and His role as deliverer, I'm going to move through these various passages to show us and to try to answer the question, what is it we've been delivered from? In other words, how great a salvation we have in Christ. And that's what I want us to see, that's what I want us to rejoice in, and that's what I also, as we move toward the end of this message this morning, is what I want to be a catalyst, a motivator for us in regards to what we answer, seek to apply every message, how should we then live? Considering the fact that I have been delivered, what have I been delivered to? But let's begin with from what we have been delivered. Romans chapter 7 and verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So Paul tells us there in Romans 7 that one of the things we have been delivered from is the law. Does that mean we are antinomian? Does that mean we live however we want to live? Does that mean we are as some who say, well, I'm saved by grace, it doesn't matter what I do? No, that's not the context of the passage. We are delivered from the law in the sense of its justifying, in the sense of its condemnation. And that's what he is dealing with in this particular passage. And of course, it will come to its climax in that great, you might say, hymn of praise in chapter 8. When he speaks about the position of the believer in Christ, not having any condemnation. Let's pick up there at verse 24 of chapter 7. I'm going to continue through that section of chapter 8. Notice what he says. O wretched man that I am, who shall, there's the word again, deliver me, who shall pull me out, who shall draw me out of this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There it is. There's the answer. Who will do it? He gives you the answer in that verse. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So what's he acknowledging? As long as I am still in this body, I still have a necessity of, and I feel the necessity of completion. Even though God has begun this work in me, even though in a sense I have been delivered, past tense, I still sense the need of my body being delivered. You see that? And he's groaning under that. But notice what he says as he continues on there in chapter 8, as this letter continues to flow. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So he has been delivered. He has been pulled out from under the law of sin and death. Here's the state of the believer. As he comes into this world, in his natural state, he is under condemnation. He is under the dominion of sin and death. And the Lord, and the Apostle Paul says, what has the Lord done for me? He has delivered me out from under that. He has set me free. And the Apostle Paul knows, as he continues to develop this in chapter 8, that even what he groaned under in 7:24, there's coming a day when I will be delivered completely and will no longer have this sinful body. He came to deliver His people. He came to, saying it in another way, save His people from his sins. So through the lifting up of the Son of Man, through the defeat of sin, self, and death that separated us from righteousness, God, and life. That's how He's going to deliver us. So He's delivering us from sin, notice, and self, crucified with Christ, and death, ultimate eternal death. He has pulled us out. He has drawn us out. He is the deliverer. He is the mighty warrior who has come to conquer in our stead. Galatians chapter 1. The word deliver is used here. And the word used here, translated deliver, has the meaning of to select your election and to select for the purpose of tearing out or plucking out. A little stronger, right? To tear away from. A little violence in that word. To tear away, to pluck away from what? Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. What was the will of God and our Father? That the Lord Jesus Christ would come, give Himself for our sins, that He might tear us away from this evil world. That He might tear us, pluck us out of this evil world. With a view to the fact that He selected us even before the foundation of the world to do this for us. See that? So Christ has come to do the will of the Father. The will of the Father for you is that you be saved from this present evil world. Drawn out. Torn out. Plucked. All these words we're looking at here that are all translated deliver. What has God done through the cross work of Christ for His chosen people? He has separated them from this world. So here's the question that confronts us after we read this verse and think about it and ponder it. Are we living as such a plucked out people unto the Lord? Which world possesses you? Are we living as pilgrims and strangers here who have been plucked out, separated, torn away from this world? Which world possesses me? Which world possesses you? We must confront ourselves with these questions, these applications. Colossians chapter 1. What do we find there? Colossians chapter 1. Verse 12. Paul writes, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fitting to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Again, the meaning here of drawing or pulling out. Do our lives declare such a deliverance from darkness and translation into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have we been pulled from darkness? Have we been drawn from darkness? Are we now citizens of the kingdom of light? Go back to the previous question. Which world possesses us? Have we been torn away from this world? Or are we still seeking to hold on to it with one hand and hold on to the kingdom of Christ with the other? How will we answer that question? We must answer it. We must answer that question. What do our lives declare? What do our lives declare? Deliverance or bondage? And when the Lord delivers, right? He doesn't deliver in a piecemeal way. And He doesn't fail. When He delivers, He delivers. Right? Completely and fully and wholly. So he doesn't begin a work and leave it half finished. And we know that the finality of that deliverance, as we've already referred to, will be when the body is delivered. But as far as your position that I've talked about last few Sundays, your position right now, you are fully delivered. Because he uses the past tense. He has delivered us. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. You notice that? He doesn't say he is delivering you. He has delivered you, Christian, from the power of darkness. That power has been broken. You've now been translated into another kingdom. What does my life project? What does my thinking project? What do my words project? Brother, as we studied this morning, what do my reactions project? What does my muscle memory project? What kingdom is predominant in my life? Those are searching, convicting questions. Have I been delivered? As the Scripture describes a believer, a Christian, a follower of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1. 1 Thessalonians 1. Again, we're still dealing with what we have been delivered from. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 9 and 10. Speaking of believers living in such a way that they show that they've been delivered from this present evil world, that's contained in this passage. Because look what he says in verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols. You turned to God from those dark idols, from worshiping demons. You've been translated from darkness to light. You've been delivered. And they're living that way. And it's a testimony to serve the living and true God. Notice what he says in verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. What has Christ done for us in this particular passage? He has pulled us away from the wrath to come. There's wrath coming. Everybody realize that? That this earth's appointed to wrath? Peter says it's appointed to fire. It was destroyed the first time by water, the second time. Now he uses the word reserved. It is reserved unto fire and perdition of ungodly men. He's saving you from that. He's pulling you away from that. He's drawing you out of destruction. He's the deliverer. And that's what he's delivering you from. He's delivered you from sin. He's delivered you from death. He's delivered you from condemnation. He's delivered you from the way of darkness. He's delivered you from the wrath to come. And in all of this deliverance, he has, as the word means in Hebrews chapter 2, to release. Release from what? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Hebrews chapter 2. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, that is our deliverer, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And as I already said, the word deliver here has the meaning of to release. He has released us from the bondage of the fear of death. Because what do you already know? He's delivered you from condemnation. He's delivered you from that ultimate death. He's delivered you from the power of darkness. He's delivered you from the wrath to come. There's nothing to fear. You don't have to say, death is the unknown. No, he's already told you what's beyond death. If you're in Christ. He's delivered you from the bondage of the fear of death. He's set you free. So again, I ask the question, which world possesses you? The old world of the bondage of the fear of death, the old world of darkness, the old world of sin, the old world of self, or the kingdom of His dear Son? Which world are we living in? Which world are we living in? Which world are we reacting in? Which world are we thinking in? Which world are we talking in? We have been delivered from these things. And the next question might be, we have been delivered to be what right now? Here we are. Here's what we have been delivered from. What have we been delivered to in regards to our present experience? What have we been delivered to? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Go back to the epistles of Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul speaking of his own experience as the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the servant of the one who has delivered him. Notice what he says beginning in verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live, notice this now, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. Take again this word deliver, and here it means to surrender or to yield up. So what is the calling of the believer? What have we been delivered to in our practical experience life right now? As people who have been delivered, we've been called to surrender or yield up our life to the cross daily. We've been called to be crucified daily. Simply occupying the position that Christ has delivered you to, if you believe it. Crucified. And notice what he says. Notice the result of being crucified. When you are crucified, the life of Jesus is made manifest. So what would be the flip side of that? If I am not crucified, the life of Jesus is not going to be made manifest in me. Who's going to be made manifest? Tom is going to be made manifest. So in order for the deliverer to be made manifest to those who are still in bondage to sin and death and ultimate destruction, the believer must die daily. And by dying daily, Christ is made manifest to others. Right? Yeah. Problem with professed Christianity today is they see the professing Christian. They don't see Christ. Because the professing Christian is full of themselves. They're very much alive. And they're very much possessed by this present world. And their wants and their desires and their interest and their affections are captured here. But they will tell you they're Christians. We will tell folks we're Christians, and it's evident to them that there's really no difference there. So what does it matter if you say you're a Christian or if you say you're not? if your life is still in the bondage of this present world. If we are not crucified with Christ, the life of Christ is not going to be manifested. So we've been delivered unto this daily yielding of ourselves up to death. Brothers and sisters, that's a painful experience. That's the reason, once more, as the brothers and I talked about yesterday, Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you need to sit down and count the cost. Because the cost will be, you forfeit this life that you can see, that you can touch, that you can taste, that you can smell, that you can hear, for a life that you can't see. A life that you've just been told about. That's the cost. If you're going to follow me, you must take up your cross, deny yourself. That's the only option. This world or the world to come. That's the exchange. So he says, count the cost. Because there is a cost. And no, it's a lie. You can't have both. So we are to surrender and yield up ourselves to Him. We've been delivered to that kind of life. That's simply biblical Christianity. What has He delivered us to be in the future? Back to Romans chapter 8 before we close this morning. Romans chapter 8. And this that I've already touched upon in regards to the groaning that we saw there in 7:24 that Paul experiences, that every believer experiences, with this blessed hope always there before them that faith has laid hold on, that I have been delivered and the Lord will finish this work and complete it, bring it to consummation as He delivers also my body, my mortal body. This vile body will be made like unto His glorious body. Creation itself will be renewed. All things will be made new. Brothers, you spoke this morning, there will be a new heavens and a new earth. And that's the glorious exchange that the believer is willing to exchange this world for. But you've never seen it. All you know is that it's written right here. And the world says, you're a fool. The world says, you're insane. You're living in a fantasy world. And faith says, this is real life. Verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity in this world, not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body, that He has also promised to deliver. We have been delivered, and this body one day is going to be delivered. Mortality must take on immortality. Corruption must take on incorruption. And this is what the Deliverer has done for us. If you believe it. Let me close with two passages. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Again, keying in on this word of delivery. Being delivered by the deliverer. 1 Corinthians 1, beginning with verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Here's what we looked at earlier, right? That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. Who delivered us, notice the progression here, who delivered us from so great a death, past tense, doth deliver, present tense, and in whom we trust will yet deliver, future. There's the work of the deliverer. He has delivered you, He is delivering you, He will deliver you. Do you believe it? Have you been plucked, torn from this present evil world into the arms of the deliverer? Do our lives testify to that fact? That I'm presently being delivered? That I'm presently dying daily? Looking for that blessed hope when I'm finally and fully delivered? In body as well as spirit. Lastly, 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 4. Once more, in closing, I want to look at testimony of Paul as he closes this last letter to Timothy. And we know at this time Paul is drawing very near his execution. Now I want you to notice what he says in these closing lines to Timothy. 2 Timothy 4, beginning with verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me. It's already as if Paul has been ripped out of this world, isn't it? But all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Wow. Grace. Grace. What does the natural man say? I hope they get theirs. I hope they suffer. Paul's been delivered from this world. And you see it in that attitude. Again, what attitude? What does our attitude profess? Which world possesses us? Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, and to the Apostle Paul and to every true believer, that's everything. That's victory. The Lord stands with me. The world is against me. I'm victorious. But that's not the worldling's view. The worldling seeks respect and popularity, right? And fame and fortune in this world. And He strengthened me that by me the preaching might be fully known. And we already saw earlier what's one of the ways that Paul brings out so clearly and explicitly that the preaching of Jesus Christ is known by his own dying daily, by his own being delivered up to death daily. It's not just him saying words, but it's in the power of a changed life. Anyone can stand up here and say words. Anyone can stand up here and read the words off the page of this Bible. But Paul says, when I came to you, it was not in word only, but in the demonstration of spirit and of power. Resurrection power. Deliverance. Deliverance. And that the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. That is, everything that would seek to destroy Paul, the persecutions. Ultimately, we know that evil work, that of wrath, of Satan, of anything that he would throw at the Apostle Paul. He has this confidence, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Confidence. He who has delivered, is delivering, will deliver. Amen. End of story. And that's why the Apostle Paul could be, brother, content in whatever situation he was in. Because he was confident in his deliverer. He has delivered me. He is delivering me. He shall deliver me. Amen? Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your great grace. And I thank you for our deliverer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and tore us away from sin and death and hell and ultimate destruction. Father, I pray that these truths, this identity of the Savior as the one who has drawn us to Himself and who daily calls us to yield up ourselves to the cross with the view of the fact that a glory awaits us, that we would believe it and walk in it. Help us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand.